So if we remember from last week, that wonderful encounter between Simon Peter and Jesus, as Jesus asked his disciples, who do people say that he is? Then specifically, who do you say that I am? And Simon's one who, inspired by the Holy Spirit, the words given to him by our Father in heaven, said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus, we can say, rewarded him by saying, you are now Peter, you are rock, and on this rock I will build my church, and I give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And that you bind on earth is bound in heaven, and loosed on earth is loosed in heaven. The gates of hell will never prevail against you. I'm sure Peter was feeling kind of good at that moment. Maybe it went to his head a little bit, or maybe he was scared about the implications. We don't really know. But what an amazing event that must have been in the life of Peter and in the hearts and the minds of the other disciples. And so we've had a week between that passage and the passage that we had just listened to. But in reality, it's one continuous conversation. So we left off last week with Peter riding high as the king, as the foundation, as the one who has the keys to the kingdom, the prime minister, the first in command. And now what do we have? Get behind me, Satan. Let's talk about an ego buster. Get behind me, Satan. You are an obstacle to me. Recall the reason why he was named Peter, and because he made this declaration about the reality of the identity of Jesus, but he did so in response to the inspiration of the Spirit. And what was the accusation of Jesus against him today? You're thinking as man thinks, not as God thinks. You're not listening to the Holy Spirit. You're making sense of things according to your own calculations. And you're an obstacle to my will. Get behind me, Satan. This obstacle, this little, it was a scandal, is a word, which was a stone, a small stone along the path that might cause someone to trip as they were going along. So being demoted from the big rock to this small stone, all because of the voice that he was listening to. And why was he listening to the voice? What did Jesus say? That he was going to be crucified and killed. It says Jesus began to tell his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem. Must. It's necessary. That what's going to happen to him is necessary. It's necessary that he suffers. It's necessary that he's crucified. It's necessary that he is put to death. But that's not all that Jesus said, and maybe that's all that Peter heard. He says, so that on the third day I will be raised. I will rise from the death. But Peter said, no, God forbid, that will never happen to you. I am your prime minister. I'm your number one man. I'm going to not let anyone hurt you. I won't let anyone attack you. No one's going to kill you, not on my watch. Get behind me. How often in our own lives, when we face the certainty, the necessity of suffering, the necessity of the cross in our life, how often do we tell Jesus, nope, this is not your will, give me something else? How often do we look for the easy way out, the comfortable life, to live our best life here, become the best version of ourselves? How many of us have drank the water of their prosperity gospel? Well, if I say yes to Jesus, then my life is just nice and pretty. I'll be healthy and I'll be wealthy. all my problems will go away. How many of us are listening to that voice of Satan that denies the necessity of the cross in our life? This is what Christ is putting before us. And this wasn't just for those 12 men. Because he goes on to say, if anyone wants to be my disciple, if anyone, that includes us, me and you, if you want to be my disciple, you must deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. Deny yourself. The way that you want things to be, your idea of success, put to death. Deny it. Take up your cross, which was an instrument of torture and death, not just a nice piece of jewelry we can wear around our neck. Take this up and follow after me. This high cost of discipleship. So what is our response when we face those difficulties of life? When we have that unplanned pregnancy and an abortion is the easy answer. When the marriage is just too irreconcilable, so abandoning my family and my children is the easy way out. When I'll travel to the end of the world looking for this perfect exotic vacation so that I can have the perfect picture on my social media to show the world how good my life is. When I try one more new thing, hoping to get one more new answer, that I deny the reality of the cross in my life. Get behind me, Satan. You're thinking as man, not as God. St. Paul in the second reading invites us, as Jesus does, to a radical reorientation. I urge you, brothers and sisters, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Do not be conformed to this age. When we think about politics, when we think about economic mobility, when we think about economic policies, when we think about service to the poor, or have we been conformed to this age? Or, as St. Paul says, have our minds been transformed? Do we base our opinions, our philosophy on life, on the latest guru that we come across on social media? Or is it the gospel? Do we stand firm on the rock of the church? Or do we reject it because I want my life the way I want my life? And there's no way God could want that for me. Do not be conformed to this age. Be renewed by the transformation of your mind so that you can know what is the will of God. If our minds and our hearts are not changed by the gospel, we can't know God's will, and we will always be an obstacle. We will always be a stumbling block. We will always be an adversary. We will always be a Satan. We come to Mass, we enter into liturgical worship, we read the Bible, we study the Catechism, and we allow that Word of God revealed to us through His one church to help form our minds and our opinions about things. It doesn't matter what they say on your favorite news show, or what they say at work, or what they say at home. It doesn't matter unless it conforms to what Christ has said. And this is what is at the root of the readings today. This wonderful reading of Jeremiah, this great prophet who did not want to be a prophet, the reluctant prophet, maybe we could call him. He said, I'm too young. I don't even know what to say. Find somebody else. How many of us have been reluctant to speak up for the truth? When our family member is doing things that we know they shouldn't do, when they're supporting things at work and making me go along with a political agenda, but I want to advance, it's going to help my career, I have a family to support, I don't mind being a little stumbling block today. I'll make up for it later. Jeremiah was given the challenge to preach the truth to his own community who was going astray. And can you imagine how they responded to that? Has anyone in your own family tried to call you out for your sin? Were you so excited and happy that they were doing that? Or did you try to shut them down? Because that's what happened to Jeremiah. They beat him, they stoned him, they threw him in the pit, they rejected him, they abandoned him, all for doing what God had asked him to do. Where we get today, you duped me, O Lord. You promised me something, and this is not what I wanted. You duped me, O Lord. You deceived me. You led me down a false path. I'd rather be part of the in crowd. I'd rather get that invitation to the company party. I'd rather be such and such. I don't want to be the odd man out anymore, Lord. I'm tired of this fight for truth. It's just easier to go along to get along. I'm sure none of us have had that experience. This only applies to Jeremiah 3,000 years ago. He said, I'm not going to speak your name anymore. It's not worth it. I'm going to keep my mouth shut. I'm going to try to avoid the pain of being faithful to you, Lord, by not being faithful to you. I'm just going to ignore it. And then what happened? It became a fire in his heart. St. Paul did the same thing. He says a fire in his belly that he couldn't keep quiet. Each one of you, when you were baptized, you became that prophet. No matter how old or young you were, no matter what words you have or don't have, you are that prophet with the same challenge to preach the truth to the world that's in darkness. And it doesn't matter what their response is. You can't be swayed by someone's obstinacy. We're called to be faithful to Jesus Christ and to his church and to his gospel. We try to quiet that voice and it becomes a fire burning within us, and we must proclaim the name of Jesus. This is a challenge. This is what's laid out before us this morning. So are we going to be like Simon Peter and try to make our own way and put ourselves in front of Jesus and say, hey, I got this. You follow me, Jesus. That's what Peter was saying. You follow me. And so when Jesus told Peter, you are Satan, get behind me. He's reminding Peter of his initial call to follow. That each one of us has received that same call to follow after Jesus. So when the cross gets heavy and the days get long and it's so much suffering, I can't take it anymore, get behind me. Let me lead you is what Jesus is saying to Peter and to each one of us. That the only way through, the only way to navigate these dark days, these troubling times, is to follow Jesus. And as he says, we will necessarily go with the cross to Calvary. We must deny ourselves. We must lose our life for his sake. It's the only way to truly live. So I, like St. Paul, urge you, brothers and sisters, do not be conformed to this age. Do not listen to the voice of Satan telling you to take the easy way out. That God doesn't want you to suffer. That God wants nothing but great things for you. To be healthy and to be wealthy. Do not be conformed to this age. But listen to the church. Listen to Jesus. Allow your heart and your mind to be transformed by the gospel. It might hurt. You might be rejected and abandoned. But you won't be alone because you will be with Jesus. And being with Jesus is the only way to life.